This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, as is our Thursday custom. Mark Bauer, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, is with us. Front page story today, LSU game at Florida postponed. 19 Gator players have coronavirus, so that game has been moved to December 12th. And then on the other side, a story from Mark Ballard. Law school dean has been interim president. He's referring to Tom Galligan, who wants to keep the job as the president of the university. Now, of course, there's even some discussion about whether the position of president and chancellor will be divided. But Mark Ballard, Galligan has been a happy warrior. He likes his job, and he is out there and giving full-throated support to staying on. He says, "I got the buck." you capture him in all his glory, but obviously there's some high-powered people, including Jay Darden, who would like that job, and there's some discussion about splitting it. Where do you think we are right now?
Well, we're going to find out, I guess, a week from Friday, when the Board of Supervisors are supposed to get a recommendation from this search committee as to whether it'll be one job or two. It was one job under F. King Alexander, and now they want to split the system apart from the Baton Rouge flagship, chancellor of the Baton Rouge flagship. So I guess that's going to determine a lot about who applies and what kind of credentials that they'll need.
Well, it'll be fascinating to see, and there are some new board members. John Bell Edwards now, I believe, has a majority of the board members who have been appointed by him.
He does, yes.
And ultimately, the governor has a lot of say, as you can imagine, in who will be the next president, chancellor, or whether it'll be split in two. And he has a guy who's his number one person in his administration who's openly said he wants the job. So does that put the governor in an interesting position?
Well, I'm pretty sure the governor is not going to say publicly where he stands on all of this. And it's important to note that Jay Darden wasn't available yesterday to say if he's still interested in the job. And if so, is he interested in the system job or is he interested in the chancellor job if the Board of Supervisors choose to split them up? So I think it's going to be – and then, of course, they're going to do a nationwide search as well. So it's still up in the air.
And people talk, of course, as Tip O'Neill used to say, the walls have ears. And there has been some discussion by the board to name Darden president and Galligan chancellor. Galligan sounds like he wants to keep things the way they are.
Well, I asked him specifically if he wanted to be chancellor or president. He took the fifth on that.
It's a tough job, though, for both, and I think that legitimately it could be a case in which it's split up, not just for political reasons, but legitimately you can imagine running the healthcare system and all those campuses, including the big one at LSU and Baton Rouge.
And sometimes they conflict.
Yeah.
I mean, because the other colleges in the LSU system also want the most money that they can get.
Well, what about the special session? Has it been a yawner?
Well, they seem to have focused mostly on basically taking away the governor's powers to roll out these phases and to deal with the pandemic. And the efforts to, shore up the unemployment trust fund, the efforts to deal with the Hurricane Laura recovery in Southwest Louisiana, which was, their primary purpose, they said, for going into special session, have not really moved that much.
Well, the governor has fought a recalcitrant legislature for most of his 5 years. This is nothing new, but after a while, I suspect he gets a little weary of having to constantly battle the Republican majority in the legislature.
Well, he does, and this is a man that does not suffer fools easily, and so he has troubles with some members of the Republican legislature. He does have good relationships with some of the more moderate members of the Republican leadership.
Rinaldi in North Baton Rouge. Rinaldi, you're on Talk Louisiana with Mark Ballard.
Good morning, Mark, Jim. Mark, I'm going to make the Southern University pitch. If they split the positions up, the other system, which is in Louisiana, which is Southern University, do you think that will have some impact on Southern University going back to the chancellor on one campus and, I mean, on campuses and president of the system?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. There has not been much talk about splitting up the Southern position. Dr. Belton handles both of them, and he's not received the kind of controversy that F. King Alexander did when he was chancellor and president. So I get that we'll have to see how that goes down the way. They had reasons for merging the two positions, both at LSU and at Southern, are not as apparent, not as good, apparently, for LSU as it has been for Southern.
Well, we're 19 days away from an election, and a listener does note that Southern doesn't have a med school, which is a big part of this consideration, too. But we're 19 days from an election. Monday, three candidates for the U.S. Senate, Peter Winstrup, Antoine Pierce, and Adrian Perkins, the mayor of Shreveport. They gathered for a debate in which Bill Cassidy was invited to participate, sponsored by the Baton Rouge Press Club. Cassidy chose not to be there. And the question is whether he can get more than 50% of the votes on November 3rd. If not, there will be a December 5th runoff. Mark, your thoughts about whether Cassidy can be held below that 50-plus-1 vote threshold?
Well, there hasn't been any public polls yet that will show where he stands. The private polls do have him close to winning that 50-plus-1 percent, and he's basically campaigning the way he did against Mary Landrieu, which is to limit his exposure. And I asked him specifically about the debates, and he said nobody has come up with a proposal to hold a debate between the candidates. So whether
that
happens or not, I just don't know.
Yeah,
that's what Cassidy said.
Well, and I would think, I could be wrong, but I would think he would debate probably Adrian Perkins if Perkins is in a runoff with him, but we'll see. Now, John Kennedy continues to be a soundbite machine, and he is on the Judiciary Committee as the nomination of Amy Barrett is being considered, the pride of New Orleans. And let's hear Kennedy before the questions to Judge Barrett were offered by members of the Judiciary Committee. Here's what he said about how he thought she was being treated unfairly.
They called her every name in the book. They called her racist. They called her a colonialist. They called her a religious bigot. Before it's over with, they'll call her Rosemary's Baby.
All right. Now, Dana Milbank in today's Advocate, the national columnist, he writes that Kennedy was saying this to a bunch of reporters, and the reporter said, "Who said that?" And Milbank says, "Nobody had." And Kennedy says, "I'm not going to argue with you guys," adding that some of my colleagues suggest because she's a Christian, she's unfit to serve in public service. And reporters tried again, "Seriously, can you name one of your colleagues who's attacked Judge Barrett?" "I don't want to go there," Kennedy said, finally admitting he was referring to three-year-old remarks. Imagine John Kennedy exaggerating.
What a shock. What a shock. And that was going to be my comment, is that nobody has said any of this. This is all red meat for the base that believes that she's being attacked unfairly. I think that most of the attacks are having to do with this sort of because we can power that the Senate has. I don't think anybody has, I mean, nobody, including the Democratic minority on the Judiciary panel, has criticized her scholarly academic approach to the decisions that she made on the appellate courts. They all agree that, you know, she is scholarly, she's academic, but the issue is whether or not she should be confirmed in such a fast manner.
Well, and in her questioning, and by the way, Lindsey Graham has been open about saying that it's over, that she has the votes, that this is merely a formality. But If that were the case, you think she might even be more forthcoming, but she would not even acknowledge that there's climate change in questioning from Kamala Harris, basically saying that it was a topic that was up for grabs. And I think there's no doubt there's climate change. She's a learned person. You would think she would know that and say that, but she was very guarded on any number of things, including same-sex marriage. You go down the list, including voting rights. She really has been a closed book when it comes to the testimony before the committee. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with Mark Ballard.
Good morning, Tim, and I apologize for being on my car phone. I don't know how.
All right, what's your question, Phil? What's your question?
Is Jeff Landry's suit still there before the Supreme Court about the Affordable Care Act?
Jeff Landry and other attorneys general, yes. And she will, this could come up in the next few days. She will be potentially the deciding vote on this.
It's a week after the election, I believe, is when they're going to hear this. And yes, she could be easily the potential deciding vote on this. If she had whether or not does away completely with the Affordable Care Act, I'm not so sure that that'll be what happens, but there certainly is a possibility that some of the underlying features that support the Affordable Care Act will be found unconstitutional, which will cause a great deal of problems.
877-217-5757. We'll spend a bit more time with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. Tonight, in a weird development, there will be dueling town halls between President Trump and Joe Biden. They will not be debating in the same place because the president pulled out when it was determined it would be a remote affair. We'll talk more with Mark after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A bit more time with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. He covers all kinds of matters, both at the Capitol and elsewhere, and he is here for a few more minutes. 877-217-5757. 19 days from Election Day in Louisiana, Donald Trump, a heavy favorite to beat Joe Biden. After all, Trump got more votes than any candidate in the history of our state in any election 4 years ago. But nationally, different story. Biden is the overwhelming favorite. The odds in Las Vegas now have him at about 90% chance of winning. And that is unprecedented. Even Hillary Clinton wasn't there 4 years ago. And as we know, Trump pulled a big upset, even though he lost the overall vote by 2.9 million votes. Now, tonight, the president is probably going to win the ratings battle because NBC, a network that's been critical for supposedly being biased towards Biden, has been battered with criticism after announcing plans for tonight's town hall event with the president to air opposite an already scheduled ABC forum with Joe Biden at the same time. And NBC is certainly to win the ratings battle because it's putting it on MSNBC and CNBC as well. And the president, I'm sure, will tout this as reason that the tide is turning, Mark, and that people are coming home to him.
I'm sure he will. To me, is just it's baffling to have competing town halls. It's just baffling to me. So, and I imagine that the president will use this as he has used just about everything as a way to argue that the momentum has turned. Now, whether it has or not, we'll have to see.
Yeah. Well. You would think they would do it at different times. This is bizarre to do it at the same time and force people to choose. Of course, people now, of course, can tape shows. But as far as ratings, I suspect the president will win that battle, and we'll see who wins the battle on November 3rd. But right now, it looks like Joe Biden is in the driver's seat, and there is one debate that is still scheduled a week from tonight. Mark, you've seen a lot of debates, and I don't think we've ever seen anything like what we witnessed 2 weeks ago between the president and his opponent.
This is true. I mean, that debate was beyond the pale of anything that has happened on a presidential level. It was, the attacks and the interruptions and it just was just totally different. if they debate in a week or so, you know, I imagine we'll see a much different, more policy-oriented type of discussion. But for right now, I mean, the president seems to be doing what is best for his political ends, and that's what the debates are about.
In debates, rarely are there defining moments. Occasionally there are. We mentioned Kathleen Blanco crying about losing her son. That was a defining moment. Sometimes when people show humanity, even when it's one in which they get emotional and perhaps do things that are embarrassing to them, it helps them. But the president is one who he rarely laughs and he rarely cries. He just goes on the attack. It'll be fascinating to see how this town hall goes, because I suspect you'll get some pointed questions. It'll be different than an event that was produced by Fox News.
Well, I'm sure it will be different than an event produced by Fox News, but I'm not altogether sure that we're going to see too many pointed questions in either of the debates. I have a feeling that the town halls, the people making up the town halls are going to be asking, you know, T-ball type of questions, and both of the candidates will knock them out of the park. But it will not really add anything to what we understand about either of the candidates and the policies that they pursue.
And here we are, 19 days away from the election, and Bill Cassidy is tethered to Donald Trump. The three Democratic candidates who did show up for the debate on Monday all said they voted for John Bel Edwards in 2019, and we know Bill Cassidy voted for Eddie Rasponi and went to three rallies. The mayor of Shreveport, Adrian Perkins, said Cassidy has been to Shreveport three times in 6 years, and one of those was for a rally for Eddie Rasponi. So Bill Cassidy, he kind of likes that house when he comes home at 3115 Dalrymple, down the block from you and me, Mark, and who can blame him? It's a nice house.
It's a beautiful home, right at the gates of LSU, on a hill overlooking the University Lakes. It's a beautiful place. I wouldn't mind living there myself.
Perhaps we can get the houses next door if we hit the lottery, and That's what it would take. Yeah, he's in the high rent neighborhood. Bill Cassidy lives large, and he is a U.S. senator, and he is one of the chosen 100, and he is our senior senator. And there is an election November 3rd, and we encourage everybody to vote, and we'll be catching up with Mark next week if we can, 12 days before the election. Thank you, Mark Bauer.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Appreciate you.